Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Oh yeah. Okay. Everybody, come come around this piano here. Yeah, this little thing is kind of Andre style. Just hold on, listen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. You've tried everything that you thought you could. Oh, taste and see that His love is real. Open up right now. That's your heart.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network, and I'd like to welcome you to Wounded No More for this Thursday, August 26th, 2021. And now, my brothers and sisters, here is your anointed host and facilitator, Prophetess Vanessa Carver.
Hey, good evening, everyone. It's good to be back, and thanks for joining me on the Wounded No More. Thank you, Bishop, for that introduction. Tonight, tonight, y'all, we are going to be talking about whatever hinders your faith, hinders your healing. Now, of course, this show, as you know, is about healing. It's about being restored. It's about deliverance and everything that comes under those umbrellas. Every now and then, as we continue to grow, as we continue to mature, God deals with us in developing our character and our heart towards Him in this area. Now, we're going to talk about a lot of different things from scripture to scripture. As you know, I always read the Word because the Word speaks for itself. And then later on, you can take these passages or anything else that the topic may be bringing up for you in the Word and study it for yourself. Make it your own. Don't change it, but make it your own. I am here to challenge you, to edify, encourage you, and lift you up in anything that God has me to present. I will end with prayer tonight as well. So Bishop Cook has a lot of times remind me, pray, bind it up and fill it up and pray. So I am going to make a note of that, to do that every time that I present. Once again, the topic is whatever hinders your faith hinders your healing and your restoration and your reconciliation and your repentance. I'm just adding. All these things are under that umbrella of healing. And since this show is called Wounded No More, yes, we're wounded no more, but some of us are in processes of healing. And as you know or may not know, healing is usually incremental. It is a little bit at a time, layer upon layer. The first scripture that inspired me was found in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 34. This passage many of us are familiar with because it has to do with the woman with the issue of blood. And we know the story. We've heard the story. But one of the verse that stood out to me the most based on this topic was what Jesus said to her after she touched him and virtue left his body and she got fearful. But he presented her, one thing he said to her, I'm sorry, after all that had happened, he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. So go in peace and be healed of your disease." And that right there, those five words, "Your faith has made you well." And that's really what it can be. It can, the topic of the title of the show can be whatever hinders your faith hinders your healing, or your faith can make you well. Okay? Just like this woman with the issue of blood. She pressed on. She determined in her heart once she heard about Jesus healing people. And that's what Jesus saw. He saw her faith. Some translations say he saw her faith. Or he saw the faith of, that's a different passage, excuse me. But whatever it was that got her to that place where Jesus was, it was her faith and her confidence in Jesus to heal. And he was healing people. And she said, "Well, why couldn't he heal me?" So her faith made her well. And she was immediately healed. And that affliction she had was dried up. It was in her, and she was bleeding no more, and she didn't have that issue no more. Her faith made her well, and your faith will make you well. Continue, but just let's deal with this faith and where it is and what it is not. Faith is Hebrews 11:1, and it talks about faith is evidence of things not things and the stuff. Let's read it right, Vanessa. Hold on. I'm going to go to it because even though we are familiar with that scripture, I don't want to misquote it, okay? And that's the great thing about having these things at your fingertips. You can just pull it up, and I did remember where it was, but I want to quote this right. And I do believe the word will do the work. So once you hear it, it'll ring true with you, or come back to some relevance in your life. It says, now faith is assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. And so this woman had faith for things to be healed. And there's several scriptures that I'm going to go back and forth to. Another one that came up was in Psalms 147. It talks about the brokenhearted, woundedness, being broken for whatever reason, being depressed, whatever it is. He heals and he binds up the wounds of the brokenhearted and our wounds. This is what God does. This is what he's capable of. And another reminder is in Psalms 34, 15 through 20. And I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. So whatever translation you like is the translation that rings true for you or makes it make sense to you, please study that. But I usually study several different translations at the same time. And I'm going to start at verse 17 in Psalms 34. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. And I'm going to stop there. Aren't you the righteous? The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. We're not just talking about anybody. We're talking about the righteous. Aren't you the righteous? And his ears toward their cry. So we don't pray in a vacuum. We don't pray for any reason. When we cry out, God hears us. You are the righteous, and God hears you. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry, aren't you the righteous? When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their all their troubles. When the righteous cry for help, when the righteous cries for help, the Lord hears and delivers. He don't just hear you and just kind of, you know, sit around and wait till you cry out again. Well, many times it's like he hears and begins and he delivers them from all their troubles. He's near to the brokenhearted and he saves those crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I mean, people that stand up for what's right, people that decide to believe in the testimony of Jesus Christ, they go through a lot. They go through a lot of persecution. We go through a lot of suffering. But we're righteous, and it's not in vain. But the Lord delivers him out of them all, which means it's not just about relief for relief's sake as it pertains to deliverance. It's more about anything that we go through is not in vain. It's for development. It's to strengthen us. It's to help somebody else. He delivers us out of them all. So they don't last. Trouble don't last always. And that's true. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. So it just reminds us once again about the nature of God and how good he is. I'm going to read Psalms 34 in the Amplified for you to really get your attention, okay? And from time to time, I will do that because I want to emphasize something for you. 34, and it's, okay. And I think that's no harm. Just to bring things back to your memory, just to stress certain things. Psalm 34, 17, I'm going to read 17 through 18. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their distress and trouble. The Lord is close to those who are of a broken heart and save such as are crushed with the sorrow for sin and are humbly and thoroughly penitent. Many evils confront the consistently righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall cause the death of the wicked, and they shall hate the righteous and just, and the righteous shall be held guilty and shall be held. He redeems the lives of his servants, and none of those who take refuge and trust in him shall be condemned or held guilty. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them. So just know that part of your faith, part of how you believe, part of your confidence in God is meaning that you will cry out, you will pray. You're not just doing it in a vacuum. Many years ago, I was one who would consistently always pray. I would always be interceding somewhere praying. And I think to a certain degree, at the beginning of my healing journey, this was something that helped me deal with my anxiety. But I really wasn't connecting with God like he wanted me to. That was available because I just knew it was what I was supposed to do in my head. but in my heart, I didn't realize how that was really a call to intimacy. And it was a place where I had to believe and trust that God was going to deliver me because I had asked him to, or he was going to engage me in some kind of way in the process of saying, this is part of your healing. I will strengthen you. I will, you know, give you insight. I will give you peace. So there was some type of exchange every time that I, but until I learned that, I was just praying in a vacuum. And so how many people do you know that pray and don't expect to be heard? So this is all a part of your faith, your confidence, your pistis, which is what that word faith means in the Greek, and it means active trust. And so that's where whatever is hindering your faith, whatever is keeping you from confidently believing God and what he has said, is what hinders your healing. And if you're praying for that, not just somebody else's, but if you're praying for that, keep in mind that when you go to pray, first of all, be honest, be pure in your heart, be honest, disclose all things, but also begin to exhort and exalt God and based on who his character is by believing him first. And that's usually an inside job. I'm going to talk about that too as I further go on. But this is what, you know, this is usually David wrote this, and he's talking about the things that he's going through in Psalms 34, 15 through 20. So then the next one is the prayer of faith, and it is in James 5, but I'm going to start at verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Is anyone among you suffering? If you are trying to be healed, the suffering, okay, let me explain this to you. When I was reading this and praying about it, when I was reading this, preparing for this today, as I was reading this scripture, one of the things the Lord was saying, people don't always, if God is leading you into a time where you're going through a whole lot and you know that he's orchestrated it, so ain't no use in praying and crying for it to be over. You just got to go through it. And God will strengthen you. He will develop character. There's many things that the suffering is for. And I'm not going to talk about that tonight because that's a whole separate teaching, why we suffer. Is anyone among you suffering? But it's for a cause. It's for a righteous cause. And so let him pray. That's what it says. Let him pray. If you're suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, get that peace, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, once again, it talks about the prayer of faith, and it's in the same context, the same paragraph as the suffering. When we suffer, after we suffer, we need to think about the damage that was done in the suffering. Even if it's for a good reason and God allows it, we still are human and we go through things. Many people deal with PTSD depending on what type of stuff they've gone through, what type of suffering they've gone through. It creates, for some people, levels of fatigue and depression. And we have to pray for a prayer of faith that God will continue to heal us through this suffering. He will strengthen us in this suffering. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another. So that word prayer is said at least 3 to 4 times, 4 or 5 times, that you may be healed. So that word sin and healed is in there too. Now, just to have unbelief is a sin. Not doing things in faith many times is a sin. Confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So once again, remember how in Psalms 34, I was talking about the righteous. I think in Psalms 147, I kept saying, aren't you the righteous? The prayer of a righteous man, of a person, has great power as it is working. The effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it may not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and earth bore its fruit. And that's just an example of a prayer of faith that is unshakable. that the scripture, that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think in another translation, it says the prayer of a righteous man is very effectual. It is mighty. It is strong. So your prayers for your healing, and just like in this passage, talks about why we should pray, and if you're suffering, you should pray. And if somebody is coming to you in a place of sin, pray for them that they be healed. So this is a prayer of faith, verses 13 through 18 in James 5. Once again, I'm here to remind you through the word what the word says, and I can't argue with the word. Once again, in Isaiah 41, verses 1 through 20. I may not read all this, but I'm going to emphasize certain verses. Starting God's nature. This is really about God's nature and what he tells us to do and how we should react. So he tells us what to do, and he tells us what he will do. So many times when we begin to pray in faith, you know, it's a dialogue. Sometimes it's not, but sometimes it is. It depends on how close you are with the Lord or where you are in your growth. And he begins to tell you who he is. And he says, you know what, maybe you forgot who I was. Let me tell you who I am. And this passage reminds me, especially when we begin to ask for certain things. He says, listen to me in silence. That means don't say a word, O coastlands. And he's talking to the children of Israel. Let the peoples renew their strength. He always gives you something to do. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach. Then let them speak. Let us together draw near for judgment. Who stirred up one from the east. And so he's beginning to talk about what he did. He gives us nations before him so that he tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword. This is so, listen, a lot of times when we begin to pray for healing, he reminds us who he is. He reminds us to go to his word and not just declare it and proclaim it in a place where it's not helping our, it's supposed to strengthen our faith. Fear not, for I am with you. So that's, don't be afraid. Don't let the fear based on whatever you're praying about keep you from getting close to God. But remember who he is. He said, the coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and come. Everyone's helped his neighbors. So he's giving them things to do. Just like I said, he tells us what to do, and he tells us what he will do. It's all through the Old Testament, to be honest. So even though I'm saying 1 to 20, I may not read 1 to 20, but if you read any passage, especially in the prophets, they begin to tell you, part of their job was to tell the people who God was and what he was going to do, but what was required of them as well. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring. So he's talking to Jacob. You whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest corner, saying to you, you are my servant. So he's telling them, reminding them, he reminds us a lot of times who he is, how he is great, how he is faithful, how he is merciful to us. So I'm trying to think of a time where I began to pray for God for something, and he just did the same thing that he did in this passage in Isaiah. He began to tell people who he was, tell me who he was, and tell me what to do. Tell me to renew my mind, to believe, to forgive, or whatever it may be that was connected to what I was asking for, what I needed him for, what I was crying out for. I was crying out for strength. I was crying out for rest. I was crying for relief. And I recall a situation in my life where I was praying, and God said, do you want relief or do you want to be delivered? And that shut my mouth because for two reasons. I had to think about what it meant. And then I had to be honest in my heart and say, yeah, I just want this to be over. And he says, yeah, that's not going to happen because I'm trying to do a work in you. And this is why I'm trying to do a work. And even though it was what I didn't want to hear, it drew me closer to the Lord because his purposes trump my desires. He knows what's best for me. And so when God begins to tell you, when you begin to ask God and pray in faith for something, especially as it pertains to healing, you know, don't be surprised or think it's weird when God begins to tell you who he is and then tells you what to do. But it's like we have to remember about, we have to be reminded of his sovereignty, of his purpose in our lives over and over again. And a lot of times, you know, when you're suffering, just like I got done reading James, we just want it to be done. We just want it to be over. We're tired. We're tired. We're distracted. We're worn down. And so sometimes it's honestly saying, I just want this to be done. I'm done. I'm tired of this. I just want it to be over. And God is saying, you know, my will, you know, is perfect. My purposes are perfect. My timing is perfect. So, and then he gives you something to do. I just need you to continue to believe me and not be distracted. So as I'm reading in Isaiah, that's what I'm thinking. And in Isaiah 40 and verse 29, he says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases his strength. Doesn't he? That is the truth. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases your strength. So sometimes when you come into God, when you come in prayer, you do have faith, you do have trust. But, you know, a lot of times God said, you know, this is not going to end anytime soon. And I know you want it to, but I also know you're tired, so I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to give you some peace. And I'm going to tell you, I'll take it. I will take it. Only because if he's talking to me like that, then he has a bigger agenda, a better agenda for me. And it ain't over until it is over. And no shortcuts and no quick fixes. So he gives you power. He gives power to the faint, and those who have no might, he increases your strength. He knows a lot of times that when we begin to cry out, just like that woman with the issue of blood, if you can visualize, you know, her in this crowd of people and this throng of people, and she probably was older and she was bent over, so she was already in a disabled place. But yet she pressed through. She pressed her way through, and God strengthened her, and she enough for her to believe to touch his garment. She didn't say, I had to have him lay hands on me and pour oil on me. No, if I could just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. That was her, I believe that was her external and internal confession. That was her prayer of faith. She pressed through and she got healed. Her faith made her well. Your faith can make you well because God will give you strength, and he knows when you're in a place of, you know, weariness, and he will increase your strength. And he will give you power when you have none. It was Isaiah. I'm going to talk now in 2 Kings about Hezekiah's prayer as well as Jeremiah's prayer, which is in Jeremiah. So in Hezekiah, 2 Kings 20, 1 through 7, Hezekiah gets sick. Some of us are familiar with this passage, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Hezekiah became sick. And he was at the point of death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, he came to him and he began to say, thus says the Lord, set your house in order. Now, God had said Isaiah to tell him, you know, you're about to die. You need to set your house in order. You shall not recover. Then Hezekiah went to had a prayer of faith. He didn't want to die. He turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord saying, now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with my whole heart, and I have done what is good in your sight. And he wept now. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, and he told him to turn back and tell Hezekiah that his prayers had been answered. Thus says the Lord God of David, I have heard your prayer. That was immediate, and I've seen your tears. To me, his tears represent his sincerity and his purity in his heart. He didn't want to die. He had got really sick and was about to, but he began to pray to God. And he says, I heard your prayer, and I saw your tears. Behold, I will heal you. So that right there did it for me. How many times have we sought a healing or wholeness with tears and sincerity? And sometimes God says, not yet. And sometimes God says, okay, I've heard your prayer, and it's a prayer of faith. You're not begging for relief. You know, he can tell the difference even when we can't, y'all. He can tell even when we can't, even when he knows we're in a place where we're at the end and we just need some more strength. And he begins to heal us and say the healing has begun. And so he cried. Hezekiah prayed and he cried. He cried out. And he wept bitterly. And so that just means if you get to a place of brokenness, that does not mean that your prayer of faith is not intact. It can be intact. As a matter of fact, for some of us that have been long-suffering and gone through some things for a long time, that's when really those things become purified and God begins to break up things in our hearts so that we can begin to be more sincere. And he says, okay, now I got you where I want to. Now, in this passage, that's not what it says, but that's been many experiences for me and different ones that I've talked to that when they get at their wit's end, God knows, now you're at a place where I got you. You're in a place of vulnerability, and that's where I want you to be. So when I saw the passage, how he said, I saw you, I heard your prayer, and I saw your tears. But then above there, it said how he wept bitterly. He didn't want to die. He cried out to God, and God heard him. And in Jeremiah, somewhat similar, in verse 17, it says, be not a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let those be put to shame who persecute me, but let me not be put to shame, and let them be dismayed. So he's crying out to God. It starts in verse 14, heal me, O Lord. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. That means when God heals, it's just a complete thing. Heal me, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. I love that, for heal me, and I'll be healed. It's just absolutely, absolutely what when God heals me, I won't be half healed. I won't be in the I know I will be healed. I am healed. Just like when Jesus came and died, and he says, by his stripes, which I'm going to read later, and Peter, we are healed. But it's awesome to me. And this just to me is indicative of relationship and bond, his bond with God. And he says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Like it's a done deal. So when your prayer of faith has to be that absolute, that, Lord, I know when you heal me or when I'm healed, I will be absolutely healed. So I love that confidence. See, heal me, O Lord, and I should. If that's not confidence, that's confidence to me. And once again, our faith is about our trust and our confidence in what God is going to do, what he's already done and who he is. So in verse and also the book of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 30 and 17, for I will restore health to you, your wounds I will heal. So God's telling him, I will restore health to you and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast. And so I look at this verse and I think about how God cares about our injustices, the things that we suffer, which I spoke about earlier in James, about the things that they suffer. He cares about our injustices and he cares and he reconciles the things that have been wrongfully done in our lives. Many times that is why we're suffering. Many times that's why we need to be healed. It's because of the things that we go through. It's because of the tests and trials. And so that caught my attention too, is God cares about the things that happen to us. He knows the things that scar us. He knows the things that have created trauma in our lives unnecessarily, whether we created it or somebody else created it. But God is one who restores. He is one that restores. And to me, a lot of times, that is a part of our healing is restoration, total restoration. We suffer, but we suffer for a good cause, but not in vain. And yet God knows, okay, they suffered, so they're a little tender. I need to continue to restore them and heal them and heal you of all your wounds and everything that we go through. The human experience, our humanity, just like he went through things and he died for us. He sent Jesus to die for us, those things that he knows that we go through because of our humanity. And that's why whatever hinders your faith, hinders your healing. Don't let your humanity hinder your faith. Because you know, just like in this passage when Hezekiah was sick and the prophet of God came and told him, look, get your house in order, you're about to die. Point blank, you know, and yet I think his bitter tears meant that his fragility, his fragile vulnerability. Yes, we go through that. But God is one who restores. Don't ever forget that. Remember, like I said in the book of Isaiah, how he tells us what to do and he tells us who he is. First, don't forget who he is. Don't forget about his sovereignty and how he loves us and his faithfulness and his righteousness and his justice. And he's the one that gives us peace. All these things that I am continually reading about, he gives power to the saint. Remember that? You know, don't let your prayer of faith be encompassed with just whining and complaining. Begin to remember who God is. Remind him who he is, even though we don't have to do that, but that's really what he wants us to do. I want you to know who I am. I know who I am. That's what God is saying. You need to know. And then from there, he begins to tell us what to do. And first, and so I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 2, 18 through 24. And it talks about, I'm going to reference again about suffering for gain, not suffering for loss. Well, we go through things for a purpose. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust masters. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. Okay? So just like I said before, that many times when we're suffering unjustly and God's allowing that, we still need to be healed from that. Okay? He knows that. But he tells us what to do. He tells us how to endure. For what credit is it if, when you stand and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is gracious. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called. We've been called to this, you guys. Many of us don't want to hear that, but it's a reminder. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. And once again, I'm going to read, whatever hinders your faith hinders your healing. Are we any better than our master? No, we are not. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, this is the verse, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. I have been healed. So once again, there's a lot packed in this passage, but I wanted to cite it because, like I said, when we're called to suffer unjustly, God is mindful of that, and he reconciles and restores us because he knows that we will be wounded, but we will be restored as well, and you're not going through something in vain. There are suffering unjustly. It goes back to how God said he would reconcile the children of Israel because they had been reviled and cast aside, you know, and still are to some degree. Many of us are, especially those who are called to his purposes. And in Matthew 11 specifically, verse 11, for John came neither eating nor, okay, let me see. What am I trying to read? I'll read verse 28 and then I'll have to backtrack.
All right now.
Okay, I'm trying to find my place here.
Take your time.
Matthew 11.
There you go.
Okay. Flowing.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Verse 28. Come to me, all you who are labor heavy laden and overburdened. I will cause with your prayer of faith. Come to me. That takes a level of humility. All you who are labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. And this is what Jesus said to them, that he was coming in with the reputation of his Father God, who said in, just like he said in Isaiah, he gives Isaiah said, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength.
Yes, amen.
He hasn't changed. So when you, from the old T to the new T, he's the same. His agenda is the same. And we have to realize that we have to remember who he is and remind ourselves in areas of our soul, which has to do with our will, mind, and emotion. And knowing that this is a call to intimacy. Come to me, all you who are labored. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and meek and humble and lowly in heart. We know this verse. And you will rest. You will find it. Relief and ease and refreshment and less quietness for your souls. Not for your spirit, for your soul.
For your soul.
For my yoke is wholesome. Useful. It's useful.
Yes.
Things that we learn from God, the things taking on his nature. Not harsh, hard, sharp, oppressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne.
Yes. Hallelujah, and Jesus. Thank
you. So we have to remember that whatever hinders your faith, remember, start to begin to think about the goodness of God, think about his character, think about his agenda, and that will help build your faith when you do come to him, because you expect for whatever his purposes are to be made plain to you and for you to gain some peace and some healing and some restoration or whatever it may be that you may need have need of. But don't let it hinder you from coming to the Lord. And once again in Psalm, I'm going to read Psalms 107, Psalms 107, 20-21. This is about God's sovereignty and how his sovereignty is unmatched. He sent out his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord. See, this is about being thankful. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And my last word, verse reference will be in Psalm 30. And this, what I call his faithfulness is unmatched. And the result is this. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help. That piece right there. I cry to you for help. You healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from Sheol. And you restored, that word, you restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Now that is, there are so many verses, everyone, between the whole canon that we can be drawn to in our place of need. Tonight we were talking about whatever hinders your faith is going to hinder your healing. So if you wonder why you have stopped or you're carrying, you're still a little bit lopsided in your soul or a little unnecessarily heavy. Remember, first of all, he is your help. And begin to go first. Go to the Word. Go to the Word. Get in a place of quiet and remember who he is. As I was preparing this, he said, always know that I need you to know who I am. This is what God is saying to me. But I also need you to know who I am. And then from there, he tells us what to do.
Yes.
And because it's important to remember his nature. It's important to remember his purpose and that our identity is all tied into that. Now I want to end with prayer for those who are in a place where their faith is being shaken. Hey, we all go through it.
Come on.
And because we all go through it, just like you said in James, we should pray for one another when we are in
places.
So, Lord, I just thank you right now for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, today for opening up your heart to me so that I can know how to pray for your people. I thank you, Lord, for your power and your might. I thank you, Lord, today for your presence. It means everything is within us. It means everything, especially with the things that we are facing today, the things that many of your people are going through. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you gave me about a couple of weeks ago when you said that many people have many assignments. And many people are getting tired. And I thank you, Father God, today for you strengthening your servants, strengthening those who are dedicated to your purposes to do them your way, to hear instructions and to hear and direct us. Lord, give them a place of peace so they can focus. And I thank you, give them a level of strength, Father God, so they can concentrate and follow through with the things that you have told them to do. I thank you, Lord, today that people don't get weary in well-doing. But I thank you, Lord, today that we remember what the suffering is for gain. We thank you, Lord, for these places of just change and transition where you called us to places of intimacy so we can experience new levels of your sovereignty. Thank you, Father God, for it's not about us, it's about you, and it's about the people that we serve. But I thank you for meeting every need that your people may have. I thank you, Lord, whether it's spiritual, whether it's natural, and those who are being oppressed mentally, Father God, I thank you for specifically, Lord, healing them in areas, Lord, where there is affliction.
Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Affliction in their body, affliction in their mind, affliction in their spirit. Surround them, Lord, with other strong people in the body of Christ, Father God, that can help, that we can help one another and bear each other's one another's burdens. I even thank you, Lord, today for this ministry, that anytime I am praying, anytime, Lord, we are all teaching or praying, we're getting what we need. And I thank you, Lord, today that as we begin to pray for one another, Father God, that many of us have many assignments. Many of us have all kinds of different things on the wall. We are on the wall. We have many balls in the air, so to speak. But I thank you, Lord, today for those things that you have allowed us to do, that we do them in with the right heart, and that we cry out to you in a place of faith, that we remember all the many examples and know that this is real. This isn't just black, black ink on white paper. This is the word, and it is true, and it is pure, and it washes and cleans us and strengthens us. So I thank you, Lord, today for a new level of peace and revelation, Lord, for your people, that the testimony will be that they won't, that the prayers of the faith and the prayers of the righteous man availeth much tonight.
Yes, Lord God. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. You have been listening to One Anointed Teaching by a mighty powerful woman of God in the person of Prophetess Vanessa Carver. Prophetess, I just want to thank you for just reminding us that anything that hinders our faith hinders our healing. You know, and I just want to say this before I close the program, because I want my young people to understand something. Listen, what she's telling you is we have to do it all. And you say, what, Bishop? She didn't say nothing about doing it all. This is what I'm saying. First of all, you got to get real, okay? Real with yourself. Then you got to come to Jesus meeting with Jesus about yourself. Okay? Then as you pray, beloved, you got to go up there with a humble heart. You got to go up there expecting, trusting, believing that your healing is on the way. That your deliverance is on the way. See, I have this place I call the already done zone. Because, see, I know if Jesus is on the case is closed. It's already done. Now, I can say that as a woman that has a titanium rod in her leg, that has metal in her body, that has buried multiple family members due to COVID. Oh, I got pain up one side and hurt down the other. But I'm rejoicing. Like my sister said, I'm rejoicing through it all because I know God is faithful. I know God's attributes. So young people, get into the word and find out who God is for yourself. And then while you're there, find out what he has to say about you. Find out how much he loves you. So then when you cry out to him, you will actually cry out to him as he is, just as you would an earthly father, with the same conviction, with the level of heart. Hallelujah. So she's saying, if you're going to pray, do it all. Pray expecting. Pray in humility. Walk in righteousness, because she said, you know, walk in righteousness because the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And when things get hard, be like the woman with the issue of blood. You got to press through. She doesn't just sit around saying, oh, I pray that Jesus would sometime Stop by my house sometime. No, that sister heard Jesus was coming on the scene, and she went to where he was, and she pressed her way through. And that's what we got to do. We've got to hang in there and praise God until our healing comes. So I just want to thank you, Prophetess, because that I got all of that out of your 45-minute teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I praise God for it. We got to do it all, saints. We got to cry out to God in sincerity, and we've got to expect him to heal us, because whatever hinders your faith, whether it's your doubt, your fear, whether it's you know that you're not in the right position, you're not doing whatever it is that you need to be doing, all that hinders your faith. And that hinders your prayer life. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father God, in agreement with what the mighty prophetess has already prayed. And I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. I didn't see any ones, and I know that everybody in here is a part of the Spirit Alive family. So I just want to thank everyone for being in here tonight. Our sister always brings it simply from the Word. It doesn't need to be re-preached. But I just wanted for my young people that are taking notes, I just wanted to bullet point some things so they could finish their notes. So I want to thank you once again, Prophetess. I pray that everyone continues to have a beautiful and blessed weekend. I want to welcome aboard Finland. Hallelujah. We want to welcome all of our new listeners from Finland. And we have 4 more countries in Africa. We love you. God bless you. We're so glad that you're listening. So we just want to just say we thank you for listening. We praise God for all of you. And from our house to your house, it is we pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and that you truly be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. God bless you. You did a beautiful job, Prophetess. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Good night, everybody.